Dearly beloved in Christ, I want to begin by, from the bottom of my heart, thanking you for having welcomed me into the parish and for having allowed me to minister among you as a priest of Jesus Christ. And I hope that you know how deeply I love each of you. As by now most of you have heard, less than a week ago I got a call from the Archdiocese, which always makes a priest nervous, informing me that the Archbishop has appointed me as pastor of Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary Parish and School in Welby, Colorado. And so it's been news of great shock, I know, for all of you and for myself. It's also been news of great shock for the parish that I'm going to, where their beloved pastor of the last 5 years, Father Brian, had to take an early retirement because of serious medical conditions. And so please keep Father Brian in your prayers. And I hope that you'll come and visit at Assumption Parish. It's only 40 minutes away, and it's a wonderful parish known for its Italian ethnic community and wonderful Italian festivals and bazaars that are celebrated in the summer of every year. So I extend an invitation to all of you. Come to our famous Italian bazaar, which is held in July. It would be wonderful to see all of you there. I've tried in my time here to make it my primary mission to restore a much-needed sense of reverence and tradition in our church, most especially cultivating reverence for Christ and the most blessed sacrament of the altar. And I deeply desire that all of you would continue to grow in your reverence for Christ in the sacrament of the Eucharist, and that you would continue to spend time with him in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament to discover his immense love for you. I've tried to always preach the truths of our Catholic faith and love is handed down through the ages. I know that at times some of these truths have been unpopular, yet I remain convinced that the teachings of the Church, the deposit of faith, is the only way to true happiness and peace in this world. So continue, brothers and sisters, to be faithful to Christ and to all of the teachings of his Church. I've striven to be available to each of you as a confessor and to encourage you through my ministry to always seek repentance. And nothing has brought me greater joy than hearing a confession that was the fruit of a tough homily on a tough moral topic, and to see all of your desire to grow in holiness. Please, never, ever, ever stop trusting in God's unfailing mercy. Never, never stop seeking conversion. I wish you could understand how deeply I desire all of you to be great saints. In prayer over the last few days, there's been a few memories that have come back, and I wanted to share them with you, of highlights of my time here at the parish. Of course, there's been many baptisms and many weddings, which have been joyous occasions, many funerals, many invitations to homes for meals and to pray, and I thank you for that. One memory that I'll always cherish from my time here was last year. The Catholic Grandparents Association had approached me to do a Eucharistic procession around the parish and the school. And if you remember, last summer was a particularly rough summer when it came to school shootings. And so the grandparents were concerned, and they wanted to call on God's blessing upon our family and upon our school children. So we organized the procession on a Tuesday morning, and it just happened by divine providence to line up with the time that the kindergarten and first graders were out on the playground. And so as I was carrying our Lord and the monstrance and the Blessed Sacrament, and the grandparents and some of the parents were following behind our Eucharistic Lord, the school children began to kind of take note of this procession that was coming up to them on the playground. And it was amazing to watch the kindergartners drop their balls and jump off the swings, run from the slide, and to begin to move towards the Eucharist. I heard one of them say, "What is that?" And another said, "That's Jesus." And you can't believe how that melted my heart to hear the faith of that little one profess that this is truly Christ. And not only that, but the kids began to follow as we moved in the Blessed Sacrament. And I turned towards them with the monstrance, and without, I kid you not, no prompting from me or any of the adults, they fell on their knees in the grass before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Somebody last night sent me a photo they caught on their iPhone, and it's amazing because you see the children, their faces truly look angelic as they look with awe and wonder upon Christ. No wonder our Lord says, "Unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter my kingdom." Their faith, their love for Christ and the Blessed Sacrament was one of the most powerful things I've experienced in my time here. We are so blessed in this community to have a wonderful school that is forming disciples of Christ and future saints. Another memory that came to mind was just from a few weeks ago. A gentleman approached me holding a newborn child, and he said, "Father, you probably don't remember the homily you gave on abortion back in March." And I said, "Oh, trust me, from all the emails I got, I haven't forgotten." If you remember, the gospel, the fifth Sunday of Lent, was the story of the woman caught in adultery, and I tried to weave in the story of Unplanned and Abby Johnson, and how she'd worked for Planned Parenthood, and how she had, just like the woman caught in adultery, had come to have this powerful encounter with God's love and mercy, which brought her to the threshold of true repentance. Well, this gentleman holding the child said, "We were going to have an abortion. And that homily moved our hearts to choose life. And I got to hold this little boy." Brothers and sisters, never, ever be afraid to speak boldly the truth in love. We don't know the effects that we can have on another. I didn't know for months that that homily would save a child's life. But when we speak the truth in love, there is real power. And it may seem in the moment that people are resistant, but the Holy Spirit will work if we boldly speak the truth, because the truth and only the truth can set us free. Be bold. Be bold in this culture shrouded in darkness and error in bringing the light of truth of Christ and his church. Do not be afraid to publicly witness to your Catholic faith. You can touch so many people's lives and save the unborn. The other memory that came to mind isn't so much a particular story, but it's been the tremendous joy of watching that confessional line grow. It has truly amazed me and brought me joy to see how many of you are regularly and frequently approaching the sacrament of God's mercy in penance and reconciliation and being set free from sin. So many times after the Saturday morning 7:30 a.m. Mass, I'd get to the back of the church and unvest, and I'd come in and the line would already be to the piano. I'd say, "Yes! More souls being stole from Satan. God's taking them back." It's amazing. Brothers and sisters, if you take anything from me, go to confession often. That is where God will make you a saint as he applies the precious blood of Jesus from the cross onto your soul. Go knowing that you will never be shamed, but you will always be challenged and instructed in the truth and you will always be reminded of Christ's love for you. I've tried to be a spiritual father to all of you, and it's terribly hard to say goodbye. But we will remain united in the Most Holy Eucharist and under the mantle of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Keep close to Our Lady. She'll protect you from sin and from evil and keep you close to the heart of her Son. Like the saying goes, Hail Mary, full of grace, punch the devil in the face. If you stay close to her, she'll keep you safe. Pray her rosary. Keep close to Mother Mary. And I entrust all of you to her Immaculate Heart. One last time, praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever.